Hello.
Hello.
Hiya. Meow.
You are there.
Yes. How are you?
Really tired tonight and more than a little worn out, to be really honest.
Yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, even though I've been typing answers to questions nonstop for 6 hours on Reddit. I'm good at typing.
Yeah, I was following that. There were sure a lot of questions. I think it was almost like 200 comments or something right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I ran out of questions, so it's a good time to talk to someone else. Plus, I have practice answering questions now, so...
Yeah, I was going to say we're like asking the same questions now, so I have to answer them again.
Oh my gosh, we really got a chicken bone. She's a naughty kitty. But she is queen of the universe, so we let her get away with things.
How many tests do you have? Yeah, I know you have a lot of them.
When we were in the Texas house, we had 5. Three of them moved out here with us, and the others are still back there.
We have Maril, who's my kitty, and Jasmine, who belongs to Ben, and Jimian, who belongs to Kat, or vice versa. We belong to Ben, probably is more correct.
Yeah, Jimian's got a chicken bone now, too.
Where are they getting chicken bones? Have you been sneaking chicken bones into your room again? He's downstairs.
Yeah, I got some chicken wings last night when I was picking up ice cream for you.
Ah, that explains it.
The cat's very interesting. Whenever I have something to eat, or whether I'm going near the refrigerator or the microwave, and I might have something to eat.
Yeah. Meryl must be pretty old, right? Because I think you've had her for a long time.
Yeah, she's 12, over 12 now. We almost lost her this last year. It was really scary. She got very, very, very sick, and the vet saved her though. So, I think she had a tumor on her thyroid, and she got hyperthyroid, and so she started losing weight super fast, and we couldn't get it under control, and she lost so much that she got fatty liver disease, which means her liver was shutting down. But
sorry.
It's okay.
It's good you caught it early, because I know my cat got sick years back, and within a matter of days, he was just too ill to do much about it.
Yeah, it was almost was with her. It was just, it was so fast. It was like she just shrunk overnight, and it was just really scary. But she has a lot of will to live. She's a prime after all.
Yeah.
She knows she's the queen of the universe, so.
Oh, is she the queen?
She is the queen of the universe and all that she can see anywhere and besides.
When she was a 12-week-old kitten, you could already tell she knew she was queen of the universe.
What was she doing?
It's just, her.
Cold.
Yeah.
And all the other cats, they would all sit and wait while she had her food first. And then she would sometimes decide that it was okay for them to eat first, so she sits back and lets them eat. But she's always the one that comes and tells us when it's time to feed the other cats because, of course, it's her job. She also protects us from raccoons.
Oh, I think I've heard this story.
No, she attacks anything. She's the guard cat. She takes care of everything around her. So she's a cute cat, though. She's a sweetheart. Very, very sweet cat. Absolutely loves her people.
So I think Nemo has actually prepared some questions for you, unless she's lost them.
Okay.
Yep.
I think she's nervous.
It's okay.
Okay. So the Kickstarter reached its base goal last night, which was pretty awesome. So how do you guys feel now that it reached that?
We're thrilled. You know, we're hoping now to see how many stretch goals we can hit. But, knowing we're there and on Kickstarter, of course, if you don't quite reach your goal, then you don't get a penny. So, knowing we have funding for some of the exciting work we want to do and we're going to be able to go ahead with it, it's just hugely exciting for us.
Now it means a whole bunch more work for me.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. I hope we go a little bit higher because I really want attachments badly.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone's really excited for the attachments from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And that's the one everyone keeps citing.
That's the one that we're the most excited about. And I made sure that when I set up the Kickstarter that I put the attachments at a low enough goal that I thought that we could reach it. I originally was going to do 50,000 on, but after doing my budgeting and the fact that between Kickstarter and Amazon they'll take 5,000 of 50,000, I upped it up to 55, and then I stretched out the Furin lighting, the lighting for Dreams, dynamic lighting, and then on up to the attachments next. So those are the ones that I'm really wanting to reach. For sure, but I would like to get to the 100,000. Kat would like us to get to the 250,000 because, of course, that means that he's going to come and work for us because it's going to take that much to be able to get him back again.
Oh, he's dreaming big.
Oh, we made stretch goals all the way up to 1,000,000. Some of these games get that much, but we don't have a broad enough appeal. We're a little more niche than that.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
We might set up something where people could continue to contribute, through like Christmas and into January through PayPal. We have a lot of people who can only use PayPal, so we might get more stretch goals that way. I still don't know if we could make 250, but, if we make 100, I'd be happy because we get to put a lot of good new stuff into the game at that point.
That would really be want to get that the 24-bit, the 32-bit Windows client out, which we will get out even if we don't have the initial money, because that's the one reason why we chose the things that we did, just because they were the things, our initial goal were the things that were most likely to make us the most money so that we would be able to turn that around and use the money coming in to fund further development.
Yeah, I got a personal message from John Romero tonight congratulating me on reaching the goal, and he said that he remembers when we were working together at LOL Apps, he told me to put Furcadia on Facebook and that it would make a lot of money there, and he said he still believes that and he wishes us the best. So that was
that's amazing. Yeah.
Aw, that's really nice.
And he just got married a few weeks ago, and they went to Mexico and then on a Disney cruise, and they were posting all these great photos from their trips, and that was fun to watch. Speaking of stretch goals, by the way, we're going to be putting up tonight what's in the next few, including the $150,000 one has a bunch of good stuff in there. So you should watch for that. That should be up later tonight.
Excited to see that one. Yeah. So I guess the main reason you're prioritizing the web client is to get more people into the game. I think a lot of people have kind of guessed that.
Yes,
very definitely. The biggest thing that we're missing in Furcadia, we have so many absolutely wonderful creative people in Furcadia. They don't have enough customers. We're missing explorers. We have all these beautiful dreams with no one in them. So one of our biggest goals right now is to just get more people that'll come and play the games and do all the fun things that people have made. So that's why we went with Web Client, because it will bring in more people, and also more people that have been proven to spend money and, do things. And so that's a really good thing. It's I think it'll be really good for our community. Plus, it'll bring in probably an older crowd than some of the younger ones that we often get as beginners in Furcadia.
That would definitely be really good.
Yeah.
So next question, I guess. Yeah, unless there's anything else I have to say.
Feel free to follow up on questions, too, if you want to know more clarification.
So how did you guys come up with the idea of doing a Kickstarter?
Well, we saw, other games started to do successful Kickstarters. There was actually a lot of talk that game companies I was at and friends in the industry, talking, posting to Facebook, discussing it. After the big catalyst was Double Fine Adventures by Tim Schafer. He did some very innovative and some hit games like Psychonauts and Brutal Fury or something like that. Some really quirky games. He also did Grim Fandango for LucasArts when he was there. And he did a Kickstarter to try and raise money to do a graphic adventure. I think he wanted like a few hundred thousand, and he ended up raising $2 million. So, of course, immediately, you know, it's all over the web and the press, and everyone's talking about it. And some other, both small independents and a few other veteran game developers did Kickstarters. And it just clearly became, you know, a good new alternative. I think people overhyped it in the beginning. But,
one thing to understand about funding for games is when you go to a publisher or an investor and you try and get your game funded, what happens is they then own part of your game and they have a lot of say over what's going to happen to your game. And not only that, they only will fund things that have been proven to work in the past. That's why you see so many games that are so similar, is because if it's already made the money before, then they'll make some, they'll fund something similar. So the independents and the niche markets and all of those have really a lot of problems getting funded. And even when they do get funded, there's many, many, many times that basically their company is just taken over and they have no say of what happens anymore. And so we've never, ever taken investment money. But because we've never taken investment money, that means we've never had a big chunk of cash to do big development. So we've always had to just kind of go as we go along and put in as much as we can with the amount of money and resources that we're getting on a day-to-day basis. But that doesn't ever allow us to do the really big things fast.
Yeah.
And we've always wanted to do that. We've always wanted to do that. So what this will do is, to start with, we don't have the problem of people can't take over the game. We still keep the vision and keep everything going like we want it to without the control being taken away. And then besides that, we can actually do a lot in a short amount of time, and it'll build, and as we're doing more, they'll bring in more people. It brings in more people. We have more money to do more new things, and that's why it works. It's just, we need a little bump to get us over that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it's a really positive way to go about it.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about, you know, having a closer relationship between the players and the game makers. You know, having a middleman or several middlemen, you know, if you buy a game in a store, there was a retail chain, there was maybe a distributor that got the game from the publisher and sent it to the retailer on a truck, you know, there was the publisher, and then there might have been the game developer who's an independent and has a contract with the publisher. There's all those steps. And we've always had a close relationship with our community, so working directly with them through something like Kickstarter is just a natural for us. It fits the way we operate anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the many things, I guess, that makes Bricadia special.
Well, thank you. We like the things, so.
Oh, it's not us, Kat. It's the community. They're the ones that are special. We have the most awesome community on the Internet. We really do.
Oh, yeah.
I'm back, by the way. Sorry about
Welcome
that.
Back. Sorry about that. We didn't realize you were gone.
Yeah, my cat decided to make a mess and just had to clean up the worst of the glass anyway.
What do we have next?
There's a question from XXY.
That's what we call him. Taishi calls him Bruce, and other people call him George, but we usually call him Zithrith.
He was wondering, what is the estimated date for the attachment's stretch goal if the pledge total doesn't quite reach that mark?
If it doesn't reach the mark?
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good question. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. As you guys know, we've been trying to do things like attachments and 24-bit and all of those sorts of things for a long time. So there's been a lot of development on them in the past. The problem is that it was development done by other people, like Sanctimonious or Rin, and other people had been doing development on a lot of these things. And So when you bring in a new programmer, that programmer has to figure out what the other person was doing and then manage to do it again. And they are probably going to want to make some changes and do it their own way. And, you know, there's a lot of that sort of thing going on. Attachments was supposed to be out. I had it almost ready. In fact, it absolutely broke my heart. Christmas of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
It was so close, I could taste it. And it fell through. It just absolutely fell through. Timo didn't have any time, more time to work on it, and it didn't get out by Christmas. And then, I don't know if you remember the timeline, but then we lost Timo then just a couple of months after that. But mm-hmm. he really hadn't been working too much on stuff for a few months before that, and because he was already starting to work at his new job. So we had attachments really, really close. Now, the problem was is that now, since we aren't getting Timo back to finish it, a new programmer's got to come in and look at it and figure it out. Well, Najumi has been looking at it. It isn't there yet, and we haven't started everything yet, but we do have a lot of the art ready for it, but not all of it. We still, because we've had a lot of new avatars since then, mm-hmm. and all of them will have to be made to work. We do have some attachments already made and sitting there ready to go. So we have that. I need the extra money to be able to pay the artist to redo all the avatars. Plus, because we're doing, at the same time, we're doing an upgrade on the base avatars and some of the base art and things like that to go into the web client, it makes a lot more sense for us to do everything at the same time by the same person instead of revisiting the same avatar a few times to get it not only prepared for attachments but also made into more of a 32-bit looking animal, if you'll excuse the term,
mm-hmm.
and to get it actually working. So there's just a lot of work to get each avatar to a point where it's both ready for attachments and ready for that. When I made the 55 goal, it was with the idea of doing a base amount of work on the art. And then, of course, there's the programming also. But the base amount of work on the art, I put attachments not too far up because it's really attached to the other part of our goals. And so I'm really hoping we make that so that all of that art can be done all together. Or I will say we will probably end up doing all of that art together. Now, the programming is two totally separate things because, of course, attachments are going to go into the Windows client. So they have to be made to be ready for the Windows client,
mm-hmm.
and as well as the web client. So that's going to be a bit of work. So we can't promise it really soon, but, the closer we get to attachments, the closer, the more money we get closer to attachments, just because we haven't made exactly an attachments goal. If we get close to attachments, that still probably pushes us closer to getting it done faster.
Mm-hmm.
Long answer, but that's basically the way it works.
No, it makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of work that has to go into it, and yeah.
If you really make the goal, is it like an option to get Timo to come back just to finish up this particular, his programming job, or is this not really in the cards?
You might have been away when Kat was mentioning it, but what we really have plans to do now that we've made our initial goal and made sure that we'll get the 55,000, because, of course, on Kickstarter, if you haven't made your goal, you don't get any of the money. So we hadn't done this before because we needed to make 55,000 in Kickstarter. But now that we've made the 55,000 in Kickstarter, we will probably be putting up a way to donate towards the Kickstarter project through PayPal on our own site. And we will leave that up through probably January as we're working on things so that we can keep working towards goals even if we don't make them during this first 30 days of work. That was why we didn't mind quite so much doing a short 30-day one, because we knew that we could extend it beyond that if we needed to. We just have to do it in a different way.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's definitely good.
But we didn't say anything about it before we made the goal, because then everybody would hold their money back to use it in PayPal, and we needed them to get us to the goal, otherwise we don't get any of that money. So that's why we haven't really talked about that much before now.
Mm-hmm. We kind of already talked about this. What Kickstarter feature are you most excited to see implemented?
Attachments is definitely my most exciting one.
Yeah.
it really is. Attachments are very dear to my... One of the main reasons why attachments are the coolest thing in the world isn't just because it's something neat for us in the game, but, and of course, we're all players, too, and we want to have our wings and our very dealy boppers and cute tails, and, you know, we want all that. But even more than that is we want to have a player market. And it's really hard to have a player market with just avatars and portraits and things. Attachments are much easier for a person to make, just any sort of person to make. So, you know, most people can make a daisy to hold in your hand. You know, most people can come up with some kind of, and they could sell that to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we really want a player-made market. The player-made market is, I think, in the 100K goal. I can't remember. It might be the 150K goal.
But the attachments at, what is it, 70? Attachments
are at 70, but we want to get the player market in not too long after.
But attachments are the first thing that we want to sell in the player market, so that already gets us a big part of the way there.
Right.
I have to say, you know, for me, much as I'm excited about the Hire Dr. Cat goal, I'm really excited about just getting us on Facebook. Of course, with a web client, we'll put it on Furcadia.com. We might talk to places like Kongregate and other websites. But Facebook alone, you know, I've worked at 3 Facebook game companies in a row since I moved out here to California. They now have 1 billion users. That's like, you know, 1 out of every 7 people on Earth or something. A billion users. So you think, you know, what if your average Facebook user doesn't like this kind of game very much and we could only get like 1 out of 1,000 Facebook users? Well, that's 1 million people. We're set for life, you know. it's crazily huge. So, and it's the best place to, you know, promote interesting new things, whether it's movies, music, games, you know, anything in the history of mankind, and even to do it, you know, inexpensively or free through viral marketing. So, I think it's, you know, as an artist, but like obviously a math geek artist because I program computers, right? I have this thing in my head of like, okay, I'm trying to communicate something to an audience when I create art, whether it's a computer game or a story I write. And so my level of success, I feel, is equal to, you know, the quality of what I communicate multiplied by the number of people that play the game. That's the total amount I've communicated. So if we take Furcadia and, you know, get it to 10 times as many people playing, I've spread my artistic message, whatever the heck it is, 10 times as well. So I'm very excited about that. And of course, you know, I really think it has a good chance to bring us the independence to say, well, can we do all the other things we want with Furcadia now? Sure we can. We have enough resources to do all of them. And once we get to that point, you know, there's a lot of things I'm excited about that we put up at the $500,000 or $1 million ones or that we didn't even put on the list. But if we get a big enough audience, we're doing it all.
Just yes.
Everything. So.
Everything.
Your fingers crossed.
It's really amazing how well. Sorry. It's amazing just how well independent games have really done on platforms like Facebook, especially because of, thanks to the help of initiatives like Kickstarters, it seems like there's been such a big boom in the independent game market.
A lot more than when we first started. Again, like I said, it used to be the way to do a game was that you went to a publisher or to an investor or whatever, and you pleaded for money. You know, you said, please fund us. We've done things in the past. Please fund us. And they say, well, your game is either okay because it's like everybody else's or it's not okay because you're trying to innovate too much. So, you know, of course, Furcadia is very innovative. We're doing things. We started doing things you know, 10, 15 years ago that people are just now saying, wow, this is what how everything needs to be, and this is how it's supposed to be, you know, freemium model and virtual items and user-created content and all of this stuff is, like, hot buzzwords. And yet we've been doing it for 10 or 15 years because we have a very, very smart kitty. Their name's Dr. Cat, and he thought all this up a long time ago.
I have to say too, another place that's been really good for independence the last few years has been Steam.
Going to mention that was my next follow-up comment. That was my next follow-up comment, actually, how well they've done on Steam. Like, if you look at the top sub games at any given time, you'll see Terraria, you'll see lots of...
Love Terraria. Me and Gar built a big, beautiful... Well, Gar built a big, beautiful house. Emmy and I helped gather materials. He did most of the building. Put glowing things in our rooms and stuff. So, one of my next steps is to, as Talzimir puts it, touch antennas with Emmy and talk about whether we want to go into the Steam Greenlight process or wait till after the Kickstarter. But we definitely have that on our radar. And I talked to somebody from Steam briefly at Game Developers Conference last spring. One thing that's really interesting to me, one of their more recent initiatives, is trying to get up player content markets where people sell each other stuff through Steam. And I'm like, okay, you know, Steam's on the cutting edge a lot of the time. They're wanting to do this too, and they're doing it. How many games did they have? And they had like three. So, you know, I want to go to them and say, hey, not only do we want to get Furcadia on there, we want to pursue, you know, player-based markets in a big way. I see you're interested in moving that way. You know, maybe we can be the fourth one on there, you know. But they're really great for, you know, independents, even smaller than us, like one or two guys makes a game. And some people have been able to, because of Steam, you know, move into making a living from game development. I think what they're doing for the game development community is really great.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting because, I mean, I think a lot of them A lot of criticism I hear about Furcadia is that it's kind of, you know, archaic, almost like a dinosaur. But at the same time, Furcadia was really ahead of its time with a lot of these very innovative projects that it put forth.
Yeah, well, we were the first ones to do the freemium model in 1999. We were the first major user-created content game. You know, I also thought it was funny in the 90s. You saw America Online and Ultima Online both get sued by their volunteers in class action suits. And after that, online games really shied away from using volunteers for anything. And here we have, you know, the remarkable and brilliant Emerald Flame, who set up this great volunteer program with thousands of people in it. And it's helped people develop skills that have helped them get jobs and stuff. We just kept chugging on full speed ahead while the rest of the industry was saying, oh, volunteers get you sued. You know, the thing about it is America Online and Ultima Online treated their volunteers really badly and really selfishly. It's like they were entitled to, like, slave labor and putting people on schedules and yelling at them for not making it for free. You know, at Dragon's Eye, we're like, wow, these volunteers, each and every one of them is giving us the gift of their time and effort that we benefit from. And, you know, we have to appreciate that, not abuse it. So that's why we never insist on people working certain scheduled hours or a certain total number of hours. It's like, if you want to give us the gift of volunteering 5 hours this month and 20 hours next, up to you. You know, no hours for a month, 2 hours a month, whatever you want to do. We treat our volunteers well so they don't sue us for minimum wage, you know, because we're treating them like wage slaves. So we would never do that.
By the way, I'm just, I guess, a quick comment. I was sitting on the in Pineapple welcoming while you were doing your Reddit questions, and there was quite a few more new furs than usual. Like, I'm on duty quite a bit.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, that's
a lot more new.
I've been meaning to get on since
really appreciate you taking care of them.
Yeah, it's fun. There was quite a few in Pineapple.
Well, one of our hopes, both from the Kickstarter and these live things, and I'm looking forward to the Saturday one, is to get us some new players right away. Even people who hear, oh, they're raising money, but I don't want to donate anything. But what's this cool game they're talking about? It's already playable? Let me try it. You know?
On that note, that was one of the big things we said when we were deciding whether we... Because it took a lot of effort to do the Kickstarter, to get everything ready for it.
Yes.
It took our whole team quite a while. That the video was horrible. It was horrible to get done. But all the time we kept saying to ourselves, even if we don't make even if we don't make gold, we will be advertising to a lot more people than we have in a long time, and we will be bringing back a lot of our old players. And so even if we don't make gold and this thing goes bust, this is great because it's wonderful advertisement, so we're cool with it even if we don't make gold. But now that we've made gold, now we can say, okay, we've made gold, now we really need to start – well, we really have already started working on all of these things that we promised. I should be doing my next newsletter update, and I can give a little heads up on what everybody's been working on. My one last week told everybody what all we had been up to already, and I have new things to report, so you guys should enjoy that. It should come out probably tomorrow. I probably will be too tired to write it tonight.
Yeah, you've had a long day.
Actually, I've had a long 2 days. I slept for 2 hours sitting up in my chair sometime in the middle of the night. But other than that, I haven't been to bed since night before last.
Hmm. Oh, my gosh.
You need to sleep more.
It wasn't on purpose.
Even the, I guess, the new players that have been brought in from the Kickstarter so far, I've noticed that I guess maybe the demographic is quite different from what I'm used to prior to the Kickstarter. Like, for example, I know one man who's working in, I think he's in programming, actually, and he's been here for maybe a week, and he's already, you know, he's bought, like, 5 life deals. He's a silver sponsor already. Like, it's the people who are coming in are, I think, more prepared to spend money as well.
Can I tell you another secret?
Sure.
Our sales have been really good since we started the Kickstarter. Our worst sales month traditionally always since we started doing this is September. That's our bad sale month. So that's why we didn't do the Kickstarter in September, and we held it off because it's usually about the middle of October is when sales start to pick up towards Christmas. But sales had been really, really bad clear up until when we launched the Kickstarter. And I'm sure people were saving back their money to be able to use it for the Kickstarter. But as soon as the Kickstarter went out, our sales just went back up, almost back to 2008 levels, which really nice because we were a little worried that what was going to happen with the Kickstarter was is because we have a certain amount that we need each month to operate the game and to pay everybody and the servers and the taxes and the lawyers and the accountants and, you know, everything that's involved in running a business, the office space, everything that's involved. It takes a certain amount of money each month to do that. And if that amount of money fell too far below normal, which was one of the worries about the Kickstarter, was then we would have to actually rob from the Kickstarter money in order to cover the basic operating costs because we don't really have much of a buffer right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of my big worries about doing that. And I actually added a little bit of buffer into my amounts that I was asking for each level with the thought that part of that was going to have to go, you know, back into running the game, into the live half of the game, as opposed to the development half of the game. But as it turns out, I won't have to, so I'm going to have a little bit more money to work with and be able to pay a few people a little bit better than I thought I was going to have to pay them. Because unfortunately, even though I'm going to be able to pay money for a lot of things that people have been doing for volunteer, I will be able to pay them some money for it, and I'll be able to bring in some of our people on a more full-time basis. I'm still not going to be paying them what the going rate is in the business by a huge long shot. I mean, it is very fair to say that no one works for Fracadia for any reason but because they love the game or they want the experience to be able to go and work someplace else in the future. It's a really good place to get a start. We've had, you know, quite a few people get a start with us and then go on and work in the business. But the problem is, of course, that we just don't make enough money on Fracadia for me to pay the going rate. And so, unfortunately, our longtime, wonderful, wonderful people like Cyriner and Farrier and Rajan and those sorts of people have been working way underpaid for what they should be being paid for a long, long time. And they really deserve huge kudos for that because they work full-time at it without an outside income. and that really needs to be said. But unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to raise their wages with the amount of money that we're getting for the Kickstarter. It's just not going to be enough to give raises even, and that kind of hurts. I would really like it. That's one reason why I want to reach some of the higher goals, is because then I can buffer things for our people a little bit more, because they do so much for us and for the community and everything, and they really deserve it. But it's really unfortunate that we can't do that. However, again, Facebook's the hope. If we can get everything going, then I can start giving raises and bonuses and things like that. As it is, I will just barely be able to add in the people that I need to get all of this done without really being able to bring anybody else up where they should be. And I've been doing all kinds of budgeting, trying to figure out good ways to do this, but, you know, numbers are numbers, and they'll only stretch so far. I think I answered more than your question.
No, that's a really good answer. It's true that everyone works really extraordinarily hard, and they do it because they love it, and yeah.
And our volunteers, too. I mean, we have so many people that just give away their time to Furcadia and their spare time, and they have no idea how much I love them for that, because, you know, we just wouldn't have the community without it. We wouldn't have been able to get it through the recession without the volunteers. And this team that we've put together over the last 9 months or so, that I've been working so hard to get a team going, they've just been awesome. Najumi and Yazabu and Crunchword and Majus and Rat the Unloved and all of the Pixels. The Pixels have just been amazing. And Rika, he's helping with dream weaving, and the scribes like Esno and Azkai and all of these other people that have just been working so hard to help us with everything. And they do it just to be helping. And that's just amazing to me. Now, I can say that. I will have to say, no, I haven't been paid for 2 years either. So, and actually, in the whole scheme of things, I think I've spent more time not being paid working for Furcadia than time being paid working for Furcadia over the years.
The company bought you a pizza last month.
Yes.
That counts.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even supposed to eat the pizza. Shame on me.
here's a little trivia for you too. You know Crunchword, who's in part of your new team?
I'm sorry?
You know Crunchword from your team you've been training?
Say that again. I've been training Crunchword's been on the team for a long time.
Yeah, I was gonna say Nemo's actually one who welcomed him back a few years.
Really?
Oh, cool.
So cool. Now, there's the other half of the team that I didn't even mention yet. There is all of the community people, and they're just as important, and I feel guilty so often. Everybody knows that welcomers are my favorite, but but I feel so guilty so often because I have to concentrate right now on development, and I've left Cyrener and Rajan to concentrate on the community side right now, and they are awesome, and they do a great job, but I really have to keep all my focus on development to keep things moving forward, and which is fine, and it's great, but I don't ever want all of the volunteers, that the welcomers and the helpers and the guardians and everyone else. Don't forget the bug hunters. We mustn't forget the bug hunters. They're awesome, too. I could not do updates without them, really seriously. But, yes, all of the volunteers. I mean, the community is what Furcadia is about. There is just no way around that. That is what Furcadia is about, is the community.
Absolutely.
Hey, sweetie, can you see what Maril put in your chat window with me on Skype?
No.
Oh, it's on mine. It's she stepped on the keyboard, and it's showing the little animated cat icon.
Oh, no, there's the cat. Yes. Cat is terribly thrilled with the idea that when the cats walk on the keyboard, it shows a little cat in everyone's...
It's even close to Muriel's colors.
It is. It's a little Siamese cat. I can
She's saying, come feed me.
Have you guys seen this before?
No, I don't think so. Watch
the chat window for a second. Do you have open up the chat part of our conversation?
Oh, I think I see it now.
Now watch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Are you using a real cat, or are you trying to fake it?
I'm trying to fake it, and I think they make a difference.
There it is.
There it is. Oh, there he is. Is Muriel gray?
I fooled them. Muriel is not there. I did it myself. I'm the cat.
Chocolate point Siamese. She's kind of grayish, brownish.
It was really funny the first time we noticed it, because we do a lot of our work in Skype, because, of course, we have people scattered all over the world, and we have pretty well daily Skype conversations with someone where we're working, and the cats are always right in the middle of it. And the first time we saw, hey, wait, why is there a little cat in the middle? How did you make a little cat in the middle? I didn't do it. Oh, wait a minute, Jimmy's on the keyboard over there.
Yeah, and I realized what was going on. I'm like, wow, computers are getting really smart.
Okay, we have more questions?
If you have still have time, yeah.
Sure.
Experience wants to know if you prefer cake or cookies.
I'm a cookie person myself.
Yeah, I have to say, I go with cookies too.
I have to say that actually, though, right now, and this is actually a little hard on me with all of the baked goods in Fricadia, I'm actually on a completely grain-free diet right now. So I have no cake and no cookies or breads or anything of that sort at all, not even like rice. So I'm on a completely grain-free diet right now. I eat protein and vegetables and fruits, and that's it. So I have to say a nice apple. peanut butter on it, you know? No, sunflower butter, that's better.
Yeah, this does mean that when we were done with the Kickstarter video, we not only had, you know, the star cookie that you saw on camera, but also all the stunt double cookies, you know, and the understudy.
out our ears.
Since I was the only one in the house who was allowed to eat cookies, it took me weeks. And the muffins. they don't make cupcakes that big, so we took muffins and put frosting on them. Hold up those numbers, because I had that idea, and then boom, it's in the script, and we got to get muffins. And yeah, it took me weeks to finish off all the muffins and cookies after that. I finally got through them, though.
You should have made them Kickstarter rewards.
Yeah, there we go.
Ship them through the mail.
I still have, you know, visions of, like, taking that dragon and selling it on eBay, because it starred in a video on the internet.
It's sitting on our shelving unit here right now, the little gold dragon that he folded. And then I have the pillow that I made for the throwing it at Dewey, but Cashy claimed that, so I have to send it to England for him, so... That's where the pillow's going.
Next question.
Okay. Another one from Lucy Strish. It's a big one. Can you supply a timeline of Fricadia's development, history, and growth, if possible, application size, lines of code... Yeah. Amount of artwork and estimated hours work on, along with screenshots or video captures.
Can I give you the quick answer?
Yep.
No, we can't. We did actually post a timeline. Was it for our
10th anniversary? Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
That's up on the web. We could track... with all our historical log files, we could, you know, track number of users on. We actually have staff online going back to like 2004 or so, but we have older stats we could dig up and analyze. Actually, our first 4 or 5 years, I graphed it, and it was a neat, like, exponential growth curve. I'm like, yay, you know, until our growth slowed down. But, yeah, we don't have all that stuff handy. Lines of code, you know, good luck figuring out that. I think that information is lost history. You know, amount of hours spent, way too many. But, that's most one of the joys of.
One thing to know is most of our budget goes to two things, and one of those is programmers, because programmers are the most expensive expense in Furcadia, because they can make a lot of money elsewhere, and well, many of them are give lots of free work for us or reduced price work. It's still, programmers are expensive, and we could have used like 30 of them, and we usually had one or two at any one time because that's all we could afford and all we could handle. Programmers are the biggest expense. The other big expense is just people to manage everybody else, all the volunteers, answer emails, that sort of thing, things that it really does take a staff member to do. Everybody in Furcadia wears, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 hats. you know, everybody has many, many, many different jobs that they do. And, but it works out. As far as knowing what the budgets were up until now, we don't really talk about that to people. I mean, as far as how much we make in a month or, you know, what exactly all that money goes to, because really, just to be really frank, it's not anyone else's business, because really it is our company's internal things, and you wouldn't want somebody to go and ask what your wage was at your place that you're working. It's just, you know, it wouldn't be nice to our staff, let's put it that way, to be telling people how much they make and, you know, how many hours they work and all that kind of stuff. That's just not appropriate. I do have very careful budgets worked out for all of the Kickstarter stuff, exactly what we're doing with all the money and where it's going and how much each thing is being paid for. And it is shocking how fast the money disappears. Yeah. It actually really shocked me when I first started making the budgets. I could easily have spent 4 times that much just on the base goal. For the 55, I could have spent $200,000 just to do the Windows client and the new web pages. Okay. Very easily. Just through wages for people, paying for the art, and the licenses and all of that kind of thing that takes a certain amount of lawyer work. There's just, you know, a lot of expenses that most people don't think about. And I could have easily have spent $200,000 on that thing. I budgeted it very skimpy. I didn't include myself in the budget at all. Our community people didn't get included in the budget because they get paid off the base amount that we make. I even kept one of the programmers on our base amount to try and keep more money in to pay for more programmers and artists. But yes, the money does disappear very fast, and it is just part of life. But on the other hand, you look at a game like Ravenwood Fair, and they brought in a day what we bring in a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 100 people, you know, Ravenwood Fair. Did you guys play Ravenwood? You guys, of course you played Ravenwood Fair. It took 100 people to make that game. And think of how much bigger and more complicated Furcadia is than that.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
And it took 100 people paid good wages with regular health insurance and all of that kind of stuff to make that game. And they took them months to do it. Besides, you know, it took them almost a year to do it. So when you think about it in that respect, and then you say, okay, so I'm going to take only $55,000, and I'm going to make virtually the same thing, and they probably spent $3 million making theirs. So just to give you an idea of how well Berkadia budgets their money.
Extremely well.
One number we have given out, so I don't mind saying it again. Our first year, there were just two of us, you know, and we had been making better salaries and could other places, but we took 1 year, and I took $50,000 in savings. I said, well, this will pay for, like, our rent and food and two new computers. You know, we each had a 486. I got each of us a Pentium, a 133 and a 166 megahertz. Tells her about the 166 megahertz because she was going to run 3D rendering to make avatars. You know, we made an entire game on $50,000. Whereas you look at, like, games like Ultima Online, even back then, you know, it was like $1 to $2 million, and that was a low-budget game. That was, you know, there are plenty of games out there that take tens of millions in the AAA industry, and you rarely see anybody make anything as cheap as $1 million. You know, usually it's at least $2 or $3 million to make any game. And we made, you know, one of the harder kinds, a client-server game. We built both the client and the server, and all the art and design and everything. Most people couldn't do it. You know, the RuneScape guy, he made an MMO with one guy, so I guess he's twice as good as us. But other than him, most people need a lot more resources. So, yeah, we're very efficient.
Ricky has accomplished and continues to accomplish a lot.
Yeah.
We try.
Briss wants to know if it would be conceivable that someday there could be the ability to email the owner of an alt if it hasn't been logged in for X number of years with an anonymized email similar to Craigslist, where you can email someone without having their actual email unless they email you back.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, you know, if we had a broad range of reasons to support a feature like, let's say, an anonymized email, then we might consider it. But if we felt like, well, this is a feature just aimed at people who want to try and get an old name that's gone idle for a long time, this is a very small minority of our tens of thousands of players that we're building this feature for. You know, I'm sure there's a few hundred who would love the feature, and again, tens of thousands of others who say, well, thanks, but I didn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to focus on things that the masses need. And I know there's, I've posted this on the Fricadia forums a few weeks ago. There's always people who say, wow, I really want this name, and it seems like it's belonging to someone who put a portrait space on it 6 years ago, and it's sitting idle, and I can't find them to ask them. Probably there's like 20, 50, 100 people that want that name. And it's a consequence of the fact that we do unique names. If we do something, some names are not going to free up. Some names are in the hand of someone who's really keeping on to it and wants it and gets on every once in a while. Some names are going to free up, and then you see instead of 100 disappointed people who wanted that name, there's one really excited lucky guy who's there at the right moment, and there's 99 disappointed people. You know, 99 disappointed people is not a much better result than 100 disappointed people. Mm-hmm. And they want the solution to their problem to be better than it really would be if we worked on one. It really wouldn't add that much joy to the community, I think. You know, that's one of the consequences. But more timely time. What's that?
One thing that we will have that should help the problem a little bit is that we, with the account system, which is supposed to go in the base level of our Kickstarter, there will be the ability if, because right now, if you don't want an alt anymore, it's a little hard to get rid of it. Let's say you've put a portrait space on it. You have to actually pay to get that portrait space taken off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you want to get rid of an alt, it's really kind of hard to do. And so one thing that we're doing to help it out is there will be a delete this alt button. And basically it will strip it of everything that's on it, and it will put it back out into the world. It will probably sit for a little while in kind of a limbo. In case somebody has stolen the alt and tried to put it back out into the system. So there's a little time involved there where it can be taken care of without, you know, immediately going back out into the world. But it does allow people that do want to get rid of their alts and just, you know, they're going to leave. They really don't use this alt anymore, so they're going to let somebody else have it. They can just let it go. Plus, if we implement legalized alt trading, then suddenly people can trade alts around a little more freely like they want to. And there'll be systems to do it. It'll be safer so that there isn't so many scams and people that end up losing money or items or whatever out of the trading. It'll do a few things like making sure that beacon badges don't get traded and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd really like to put that feature in. We've always wanted to put the feature in. It is a fair amount of programming to get that ready.
Yeah.
Our systems are just not set up for that kind of thing at all, and it would be a pretty big database workaround, and there's quite a bit of programming that would go into it. So we've never put the resources into it, even though we do have a very dedicated part of the community to that sort of thing. If you really look at that, that dedicated is maybe, you know, 10% of the community, which is enough to say this is a feature that we really need to consider doing. But it doesn't put it as high on the list as something like attachments that's going to benefit most of the people in the community. Or, you know, a new map that's going to benefit most of the people or new dragon speak or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at our statistics, which, of course, players can't see, you would find that only about 10% of the people in Furcadia have more than 10 alts. Most people in Furcadia only have one or two alts. Really, I think it's 75% or 76% are at the two alt and under.
That's interesting.
And probably changed since the last time I looked at it, because it's been a couple of years, because our community has matured. Over the last few years, we have more power users and fewer casual users. But most casual users only have one or two alts. Mm-hmm. If they one alt or just, you know, maybe one extra. So it's actually surprising how much of our community really doesn't do that kind of thing. But it's the very vocal ones that do. So it seems to the community like they're this huge part of the community. But because we can see the results on the back end, we know that they're not as big as they think they are, kind of thing. But it's just something we would like to support for them. I'm done.
What are some of your favorite memories from your time in Furcadia?
Kat, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I have a lot of memories.
I really miss Sanctuary and the Circle hugely. You know, your first year in Furcadia is kind of like your honeymoon period. It's like everything about it is awesome and cool and wonderful, and all of your friends are the friends that will last the longest. And it's just kind of that way, and you look back on it with this rosy glow around you, and I could say my first year in Furcadia was just absolutely wonderful. I loved it, and I made so very many friends, many of which I still have today. A lot of my, you realize you're talking about 15 years here. really, truly, this is 15 years. I mean, some of my friends, I think I kind of said some of that in my first video. You know, some of my friends, we've lost them. They passed away. I've had some really dear friends, and I just had some wonderful memories with them. And I used to love to role play. Now I haven't had time to role play in years, but I used to absolutely love role playing. Speaking of which, I really want to get more things to support role playing, because it's really one of the mainstays of our community, and we, it seems sometimes that we focus too much on our social side of the game, and we don't focus enough on the role play side of the game. But it isn't for lack of wanting to. It's that we would like the players to be the ones focusing on the role play side of the game, so that we can make the tools to make new things. And so that's kind of the way that goes. I have a lot of fond memories of dream weaving, a lot of fond memories of running festivals. I have fond memories of making the Beacon program. WorldCon 1999, summer of 1999, we did WorldCon. That was very cool. I'm really enjoying Old Town right now. I'm a pretty shy person in real life, and it took me years before I would sit on a main map for any amount of time. I mean, like, 8 years, long time before. That's why I made Sanctuary, with a place for me to hide. But basically, it helped that I made Old Town, so I felt a little more comfortable there. But I've really enjoyed the people and getting to talk to everybody and being more accessible in that sense. And so I have a lot of fond memories of sitting in Old Town and just chatting with the people that come by. And yeah, there's lots and lots of fond memories. Certainly, as crazy and hectic as they are, updates are fond memories. We'll sleep for 3 weeks. You know, this is a very fond memory. It's kind of like a dream by the end. It's, you know, floating. No, but seriously, there's a lot of camaraderie and fun, and you know, it's a team working together and a feeling of accomplishment, and it's really special when you can all work together and come up with an update or a video.
I've got one for you. You know, I have an awful lot of memories, but here's one of the first great moments that I really enjoyed. We had just released this game called Furcadia on the internet a day or two before. Our first player was a German lady named Meredith, who was an Ultima fan. I got on the Ultima fans IRC channel and said, "Hey, this game Furcadia is up. You can download it here." And you know, a day or two later, I logged in, and some people had uploaded some dreams. So of course, I went in to see what they made. Jasmine Katiana was one of the first people. She got hooked on the dream matters, making all kinds of stuff. But this one was by a ferret named Baron. And I get on there, you know, the game is so new, the paint is still drying on it. And I go into this place, and I see he set up a grid using two different colors of floors. And, you know, Dragon Speak, I had programmed the engine yet. It was built into the client, but I didn't have it on the server. I didn't have it hooked up to work. You could make Dragon Speak and test it in the editor, but you couldn't actually put it up in the game for people to try. You couldn't put art patches on a dream yet, you know. You could patch your own art, and no one else would see it, and then you could put it up on the web and say, "Hey, come into my dream after you download this file and replace your regular art file with this, and then you'll see my stuff." But with so little, you know, no scripting, no art, he had made this grid out of two colors of floor, and then he had red pillows and black pillows. And he had set up a checkerboard. And I looked at it, I'm like, oh, my God, somebody already figured out a way to make something to do. Good for him. I caught him the next day, and we sat there, and we played an entire game of checkers. You know, not because checkers is really a big, thrilling, and exciting game for me to play, but just because we could. And, you know, nothing was scripted. There was no dread. You had to walk over to a pillow, pick it up, walk over to the other spot, set it down, walk to the pillow you jumped over, pick it up and carry it off the board and set down off the board. Okay, your turn.
Checkers like that on Furcadia.
Yeah, I was going to say, I still played chess with the new friend the other day using that old method.
Well, Sanctuary has a nice chess board, and it switches between regular and Chinese chess. A dear friend of ours made it. But that one's fancy. When you're done with the game, you could hit a lever and it'll set the pieces up again.
You still have to pick them up and drop them to make your moves, but it sets it up for you, and that's so fun. But be really careful you don't bump that level halfway through the game.
Yeah.
I think maybe levers, you know, to prevent accidents, but yeah, that's advanced. What, wasn't Kashi or somebody working on one that knew all the moves, honey?
Yeah, Kashi was working on it.
Yeah, I wonder how far he got with that.
He's been pretty busy lately. He probably hasn't had any time to work on it.
That's a challenging, doable but challenging project in DragonSpeak. So, how many more questions do you have? We've been about an hour now. Do you have one or two more questions you really wanted to get in, or?
There were, well, two more, but they don't need to be asked because there were just one.
Two more. Let's do them.
Okay.
That's about right.
Okay. what are some of your favorite player creations that you've seen over the years?
Wow.
He just told you one.
I really like a lot of the Dream Contest winners. In particular, there's this one guy. He's done professional web development work and I think some game work. He did some of the dreams that we put in Pineapple Lake Resort. Those were actually very early Dream Contest winners before we implemented patches, but he still, you know, maybe patches were in by that point.
Graphite's his name, Kat.
What's that?
Graphite.
I knew it was with a G. Graphite. And he had someone that did art with him sometimes, but he did Jujinka's Playground and Puzzle Mansion are a couple of my favorites. Was it Indigo Nightfall, our friend in Finland?
Yeah, we gotta love her art. It is so awesome.
Snow Globe, I think, was her first one we saw from her, and we were like, wow, this is so different and beautiful. And there's a place called Nightmare Hotel that used one of her patches. You know, she does
her creation, too. Nightmare Hotel was hers.
Yeah, she does remarkable work. So, I've seen...
There are so many wonderful... It is impossible to say. I used to want to have the time to do what I was going to call Emmy Awards, and if you get the pun, and I was going to just like each week pick out a dream that I liked and a patch that I liked and, you know, a game thing that I liked and, you know, and just kind of post it up and do Emmy Awards, and you would get a little trophy or something for something that I found that I liked. I absolutely love looking at what everyone's done, and I wish I had more time for it. Lately, my time has been very, very, very much taken up with concentrating on development, and I haven't really had extra time to do much dream hopping and whatnot, and I miss it terribly. Love the contest because it gives me a chance to see things that comes to me instead of me having to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make more tools so it's easier to find things so that everybody can enjoy the cool things that everybody makes. I see all of the portraits because I often help with portrait approvals. And so I get to see all of the artists and the wonderful work they do. And of course I work with a lot of those same artists and as pixels in making art for Furcadia. And some of the stuff that they make for us is just amazing. And there's so many cool things. And then there's supportive web pages and all kinds of things that aren't even in the game that I really enjoy looking at and seeing. So it's hard to say one. Like, yeah, it's really hard to say any particular one. I love it all.
Of course, that's understandable. There's a lot.
Yes.
I love Lothus Mark's Dream Editor, too. We're strongly considering replacing our current one, which already was a Dream Editor. We saw someone made a better one, and we put in Reunion's Dream Editor. Lothus Mark has...
DragonSpeak Editor, Kat, not Dream Editor.
Oh, I'm sorry, DragonSpeak, yeah. Lothus Mark has a really nice DragonSpeak editor that we might put in. I'll also mention Emmy's portrait, if you've seen it. One of our best artists in the community at the time was Winter Porcelain, and I actually paid her to do a big, beautiful portrait of Emmy as I forget whether it was a birthday or a Christmas present for Emmy, but she took like a little small version of it to put in her portrait space, too. There's actually like a big, beautiful, like full size portrait of Emmy that that's taken from.
That's really nifty. Nikki?
Yeah.
So the last one was yours. Do you want to ask it yourself?
I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Well, Heaven's Cat wants to know, where do you see Furcadia in 20 years?
Kat, I'll let you do that one.
Okay. I want to have some quotes I'm remembered for after I'm dead. The first one was, attention is the currency of the future. We actually put it as a stretch goal on this Kickstarter. We really want to build a way into the game. And there's glimmers of this in places like Gaia Online and stuff, where when you create stuff, whether other people look at it or hang out in the dream that's using it, or maybe they take it and use it as a patch, or you post to a forum and, 50 people read your message, anytime people are, paying attention to you and your works, and consuming them, it's ticking up. We want to make it magical mana, because that's more fun and interesting than coins, I think, anyway. Unlike real coins, which in any game where you can make coins, people will hoard them and the lot just sits there. I have 37 million. The number is meaningless to me now. It's so huge, but I'll keep making it bigger. I like making numbers bigger. Mana will fade away if you let it just sit there. So people are encouraged to spend it or use it. We'll let people shoot fireworks from their fingertips or make sparkles, or maybe you'll be able to do things to promote your dream to get more people in, which could earn you more mana. I want to build this whole system that kind of mirrors what people want to do and encourage things people should be doing to make the community have more fun. So that's a big one. I'd love to get in voice chat. Spectator mode, I think, is going to be a big thing in games, people watching what other people do. And you can just play the game the way it was meant if it's a goal-oriented game. For Katie, not being a goal-oriented game, I think you'd see a wider range of quote-unquote, TV shows. People would say, okay, I'm playing on Fantasy Adventures, monitor my stream and watch what's going on in my Furcadia for entertainment. Someone else will say, we've set up a little studio. We're going to do a talk show. Well, I'm going to do a game show with prizes, I'm going to do a comedy show. And people could do all kinds of things. You see the Machinima movement where people make movies out of games. That's going to be a thing. And we should do more to support that in Furcadia, too. Rather than watching live, you can just take your time and set up a little 10-minute, people are moving around and there's, sound effects and storyline and dialogue. And it could be just a thing. You click on a website and watch this 10-minute entertaining video people made using Furcadia as a tool. And, of course, we mentioned the people making art for other people to buy, just encouraging all kinds of commerce. We want more services. People compose music for you, make Dragon's Feet for you. Maybe somebody will watch over your dream you run for a weekend while you're, out of the country. We want to have escrow agents who say, okay, you want to trade stuff the game can't track, but I as a human will make sure that both sides are satisfied with the deal or else the money goes back, as an intermediary.
Mm-hmm.
We want to build up everything society needs out of network computers, being a game is just part of it. We really have always wanted to bring the world closer together. I find most hate and prejudice and wars come out of groups of people who don't have personal experience with the other group of people, so they're willing to discriminate against them or attack them or go to war with them. If you know a bunch of people of that nationality or ethnic group or, philosophy or lifestyle or whatever it is, you say, oh, those are decent people. I know several of them. They're my friends. They have the same wants and problems and joys in life that me and other people more similar to me have. They're okay. Mm-hmm. So if we just get everybody talking to each other, which the internet is doing, we're trying to help push that. I think
that's why we do Furcadia. We don't do it for money, obviously, because we don't really make any money off of it. But we do it for making the world a better place. And I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch our video, our new one we put out today yet.
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I don't think I
you did. Both of you. I cannot watch that video without crying. I just can't. It's just, that's why we do this. That is why we do this, is for people to give them a home, to give them a place to come together, for people that have difficulties in real life to have a safe spot. It's just, it's why we do this. And it's really hard to think of doing it any other way, you know, and we want to keep doing that in the future. That's why we need it to remain free. That's why we need it to remain in our control, so that no one else can say, well, you know, you're not making enough money on this game, so you have to put in all of these features that make you make more money. Or things like that. We need to be able to keep it under our control so that we can keep it for the community and for the people, and so that it is a place that people from all over the world can come together and you know, the whole world peace thing.
I've got a secret for you guys, too. You know, the good guys are winning. Ben and Jerry sold their ice cream company, which was intended to be, like, socially responsible and beneficial, as well as making good ice cream and making money. But even though Ben and Jerry are gone, you know, the people running it now, they reclassified it. There's this new type of corporation. I think it's called a Chapter B corporation. They are officially allowed to not only consider, you know, making a decent profit for their shareholders and things like that, but also to consider doing good for society as one of the company's goals that the company is willing to take into account when making business decisions and allocating resources. So that's a good sign. Also, there was this history professor put out a book last year. Most people aren't aware of it, and they hear about, you know, the latest war, and they worry about mankind and violence. The amount of violence and killing that people have done to each other, if you look at a long-term, you know, historical basis, this has been going down steadily for thousands of years and is right now at its lowest point ever. And, you know, I'm sure you look again in 10 years, it'll be even lower. We are winning. You know, there's still bad things happening, but mankind is getting better. So that's an encouraging note.
You're eternal optimist. You can't do this unless you are.
Yeah, you know, just the internet alone has changed life. You know, I remember growing up and wanting to know things. I'd have to wait till the next time I was at the library and see if I remembered it. You know, then I had to, like, remember something till I got home or scrawl a note so I could go to a search engine. Now I, like, whip out my iPhone. I'm like, last night, you know, what the hell is this ingredient in this thing on this menu at this restaurant? And I pulled out my iPhone, and 30 seconds later, I knew what it was. it's from South America. Who would have known? And they've been selling it since the 1500s. So
you learn new things every day.
Yeah, yeah. So good stuff.
Yeah, interesting. You kind of see gaming as a platform for social activism becoming more popular as well. For Katie, is this another kind of idea to really pioneered?
Yeah, well, we're not the only ones out there, but, you know, proud to be in on it early. So, I guess that wraps up all the questions then?
It does, yes. Thank you.
Okay, well, this was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
Now I have you guys on Skype. Now we can say hello more often. See?
Yeah. You can send me Skype muffins.
Yes, yeah. Skype muffins.
Yeah, we'll have Maril, like, get on and make the cat for you again, too. That's her way of saying hi. And you does it more often, but we'll does it more daintily.
Yes, Maril does it more daintily. Jimmy just bops down in the middle of the computer.
Yeah, no, Maril, she was climbing up onto my keyboard shelf, and she hit just about 7 or 8 letters, and then boom, there was the cat, you know, and she was off the keyboard. Jemian comes, he's like, this thing that Dr. Cat, you know, carries around a lot, it's a butt warmer. Anytime he's not using it, I want my butt on it. In the middle of the keyboard.
Did you guys have pets?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. I have a cat and a dog. And
what are their names?
My cat's name is Skylar, and my dog is Janice.
Aww. Did I see the dog in
oh,
in
yes, you did.
That video. Yeah. And now I have to go back and look. My daughter's dog was in our video, our main Kickstarter video. The dog that was on Dewey's lap was my daughter's dog, Zoe.
Oh.
She just loves to sit on the lap all day. If that was she could do it all day, she would just do that all day. She doesn't want to go walking or anything. She just wants to sit on laps all day.
Aw, a lap dog.
Yeah.
I have a very troublesome cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we got him, he was very rowdy and violent, and I figured, oh, it's okay, he'll grow out of it. But no, he's still very...
I think I've seen Facebook posts about him before.
It's possible. Yeah, when I left earlier, it's because he just decided to push a glass off the table for no good reason and shattered into a million pieces.
Oh no!
And he's still a kitten. He's still, you know.
Your attention was not on him, so he had to get it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Meryl had a long period where she was very fussy about how Emmy arranged her desk. And whether certain areas were clear for her to sit on. And she would just go up to items on Emmy's desk, you know, with Emmy sitting right there looking at her. And she'd put her paw on it and just shove it off the edge. It's like, you know, this spot is supposed to be clear. You clearly did not get the communique. You didn't get the memo. Boom, I'm the queen of the universe. I'm clearing this spot.
Actually, I have a quick question for Dr. Cat if you still have time. I know you probably want to go back to your Reddit. Or even asleep, I'm not sure.
I think I exhausted those hundreds or thousands of people. I didn't see any more questions popping up.
Okay. Well, I mean, I might have misread, but did I read that you'd actually worked on Monster Bash for Apogee?
Yes. In fact, so did Talzimir.
Yeah, I noticed you did. I didn't realize you did. That's actually my first game I ever played when I was a kid.
Oh,
that was
wow.
Interesting. Yeah, when I was 5 years old, five or six.
Yeah,
I love it. I love
the sad thing is, did you play the free version or did you get the registered episodes 2 and 3?
Oh, I can't remember anymore. I was like 6.
Yeah, I have to assume that, you know, a minority of people got to play all 3, but probably tons of people played the free one. Mm-hmm. All of my levels I designed are in episodes 2 and 3.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know what's the universe? I got paid for them, so it's not a total loss, but. Apogee had Frank and Manda working on Monster Bash 2. It did decently well. They were going to do a sequel. And it was going to be in their... This was a 16-color game, right? It was going to be in their new 256-color version of the side-scrolling game engine. So, you know, better art, more colors. I asked Frank. I said, okay, you know, he designed the first set of levels, and then I did the add-on ones. I was going to do all the levels for all 3 episodes, and Apogee was going to, you know, pay me the same rate per level. I said, can I have a thing where when you move over this switch, it toggles these walls this way? It should be pretty easy to program, and it would let me do some interesting puzzles and areas to explore and tricks. And he said, yes, you know, go ahead and design the levels with those, even though I haven't programmed it yet. We'll assume we're going to have it in, and it works like you said, put it in. Great. So I designed all these levels, and I'm getting paid for them. Then, you know, these id boys made something called Wolfenstein 3D, and, you know, all this money rained from the heavens on them and Apogee. And Apogee said, you know, we better get all our people making more of these 3D run-around-and-shoot-at-stuff games, because they're making so much more than Commander Keen and Monster Bash and all that kind of stuff. So they put Monster Bash 2 on hold, and they got Manda and Frank Madden working on Project X, I think, one of their 3D games. And Monster Bash 2 never came out.
No,
I finished all these great levels.
See, that's what we were talking about with the whole the money drives what's being made, and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of sad because the really cool, interesting stuff just doesn't get made that much. That's one reason why we like Furcadia, in that people can make their own games within Furcadia, so they're actually getting to make some of the you know, kind of interesting little things besides, you know, there's just more out there.
Somewhere I still have stacks of sheets of graph paper with my original, you know, maps and layouts for Monster Bash 2 levels.
And, wow.
I don't know what to do with them, but, you know, I'm glad to have them.
That's a neat bit of trivia. You know, I think I actually had the full 3 episodes, but I was, you know, I was a kid, so I don't think I ever got past the first few.
go back. Dig through your stuff. Go back and play those. Let me know
They're
what you think.
They're available virtually on the net someplace.
Well, I remember
still get all those old games from Apogee. So.
Yeah, I think you can still order them.
Yeah.
I remember it took me about a week to figure out how you can actually climb a ladder. Like, this was so novel to me. Didn't understand.
You know, I need to go back and play those. To be honest with you, I played through the first episode. I did not play through my own levels. And that's just wrong.
Oh, no.
I need to go play them.
Anyways, yeah, thanks for sharing. That's really interesting.
Well, you're welcome. I'm glad to hear that you got to experience some of my other work there.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, besides Forget, they say, oh, yeah, I played some Ultimas. You know, I don't hear very often about all the other dozens of games.
I was definitely raised on Apogee games there. I played lots of Commander Keen, lots of
I always try to be on the cutting edge. I saw some of the very first ones. They had like 4-color CGA ones or, you know, 1 or 2 text mode ones. And I said, this idea of giving away one game for free and then charging for the 2 sequels, this is a good idea. This you can download games and then play them without going to a store. Of course, nowadays, you know, that's so big. People say, oh, yeah, because of Steam, I don't go to stores to get games anymore. Like,
well, yeah, I mean,
you know. But this was a billion years ago, and these guys were doing the first inkling of this. And I looked at that and I said, yes, this is good. Manda, let's contact these guys and make games with them.
Yeah. I mean, so, like, if you go to, like, a GameStop in Canada or the equivalent or whatever, they don't even have sections for PC games anymore because no one buys physical copies.
Yeah. Yeah, the times are changing, but, you know, we try and see it coming and stay on the leading edge. That's,
Jesse, Bricani has always just been a download. Thinking what it was doing so long ago. Virtual item. Everything's virtual.
Yeah, no, Amanda and I, we actually did a project. You had to download off BBSs because there wasn't the internet yet. And I think part of the reason that project didn't succeed was there just weren't enough good ways to get around free, you know, copies of the first part. So, you know, we sold like 15 copies or something. It did not pay for itself. But, yes.
Letting you know, I do need you to fix the graphics on the, sorry, we're going to talk work for just a second. You guys can listen. he's downstairs, so he can't hear me. I need you to fix the graphic on the Kickstarter page. Ben did the new one with the new stretch goals. And also, I just linked the video in. I didn't do anything special with it.
Yeah, I saw that. You want it embedded, right?
Well, I think what we probably want to do is have Ben make a smaller one, because I did it embedded first, and it just took up such a huge amount of room, and it was a picture of you making a funny face. So I thought perhaps we might want to make our own graphic and link it to it. But Ben has gone to D&D, Gar would have been in on the conversation, but he went to D&D tonight, so he wasn't here. But at any rate, yeah, we'll have him make a graphic and we'll link it to that. Do we want to leave it just as a link for now? You might want to word that stuff better. I was really tired when I wrote it.
I'll
need you to look it over for me because, like, I was really tired when I did that.
Yeah, but yeah, we can fix that video and put in a picture of me making an even funnier face, and we'll go with that.
Something like that. Maybe we'll just put a muffin, and they'll click the muffin.
We saw, like, a muffin piggy bank at the store on Sunday.
He picks it up and he says, have a muffin, Emmy.
You didn't buy it?
That line is funnier to me. Because, you know, all of you out there in the world saw me say, have a muffin, Emmy, once. I have these memories of our recording sessions where I said, have a muffin, Emmy, about, like, 50 times. So,
50 times. 50 times. You have no idea how many takes we did of all of that. It was really quite something. Plus, we did it all, and we were happy with it, and we filmed everything we were supposed to film, and then we went to look at the video, and somehow or other, we had the wrong setting on the camera, and they were only 320 by 280.
They were so tiny.
They were little tiny
blue. But if you blew them up to the right size, they're all blurry.
So we had to re-record them. And so the next day we had to set everything up again, get the pizza and the muffins.
Oh, no.
And get the next day.
I tell you, though, right before filming, Emmy about died laughing because I got assigned to get, like, cookies and muffins, right, because that's my expertise. That's what I'm good at. So... I'm like, well, you know, it's going to be hard to find big muffins, which we want. We could get them in Costco. I have to drive all the way up to Novato, and we're in a hurry, and that's far. And, you know, there's bakeries and stuff around town. And he says, well, don't drive around to 2, 3, 4 bakeries. Get on the phone and call and find out who has big muffins. So I call this, you know, like pretentious French La Boulangerie or whatever it is, and I say something like, you know, what is the largest size of muffin that you sell in your store? Excuse me? I have to, like, say it again one or two different ways until it, like, you know, understands my question, gives me an answer. I'm like, okay, you know, that was too much work. I call the next one up, and some lady answers. So I'm like, I'm just going to be straightforward and right to the point. And I said, how big are your muffins? And but, you know, she gave me an answer right away, so.
She gave you an answer that was wrong, though. You went there and they didn't
have. Oh, yeah, that was the place. That was the place with big muffins. They were the only place in town with big muffins. So I drive there first, and I'm looking through the case, and there's croissants and brownies and different. And I don't see a muffin. I don't even see a small muffin. So when I ask the guy at the counter, I say, you know, do you have muffins? You know, what kind of, oh, we don't carry muffins. But they said on the phone.
You know darn well what she thought you were talking about when she gave you the answer that her muffins were big.
I should have brought her back to the, you know, to the house. She could have been a stunt double. I don't know. I don't think that's the kind of video we were trying to make.
Oh, yes. It got a little crazy with the videos.
Yeah. Well, Safeway had medium muffins. We didn't have the huge muffins like Costco. But Emmy says, well, because I got, did I just get one muffin? I forget. She said, you know, go back to the store. We're going to have, we needed 4 because of, 5. I didn't have enough muffins. She said, we're going to have to put 1 candle on each muffin instead of 2 on 1 giant muffin. So we need more muffins. Go back to Safeway. More cookies. This is the wrong kind of cookie. Okay.
Adventures in muffins.
Yeah. Boy, was I eating muffins and cookies for a long time. I don't know how I maintain my girlish figure.
Well, congratulations again on the Kickstarter. I'm really excited that you're going to be funded.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
We are too. I don't think it's quite sunk in yet. Oh, no, actually it has, because I've already started doing a bunch of the, because now that I know that I'm going to have money, I actually have to talk to these people that I just cursorily talked to and said, well, if I get money, do you think you would be able to do this, this, and that? Now I have to actually go in and make contracts with these people and get it all worked out. And so I've started that process and figure out who's doing what exactly and see if we can get it worked out, because that in itself is going to be a lot of work, just figuring out exactly what schedule everything's going to be done in.
Mm-hmm.
But we're already well on the way. I have some really dedicated people that are already working on quite a few of these things. So that's very cool.
That's great.
I can't wait to see these. They seem really exciting.
Yeah. Let's hope. It's actually a pretty big loss. I was really hoping I was going to get Benjamin back, Gar. to work with us, because he's been our designer for a long time, and especially when it comes to layout and maps and interfaces, and he helps with the avatars. And I mean, I'm not an artist, and I've been art director for a while now, but it's I know how the art's supposed to look. I can't draw it myself, but I know how it's supposed to look, and Gar isn't here to do it. So, but he just got a new job yesterday, which is good for our situation, because Kat and Ben have both been out of work now for 2 months. Things have been getting kind of scary, but it's unfortunate that I won't have Ben for the being on the Kickstarter stuff, because he would be huge help. So he's still going to help us on the weekends, but he's going to be starting a new job, and everything that entailed with starting a new job. So we won't as much as we thought we were going to. I hoped we were going to. And whether we have Kat or not is still up in the air quite a lot. He really needs to get another job, because he's our big earner in the family, because he's 30 years experience in the game industry. Kind of earner. So hopefully that will get worked out. That's the only reason why I can work without being paid, is because they make enough money that they can cover my expenses, and I don't have to be paid. But
buying her tea.
Yeah. But if they're not working, then it's kind of problematic for me, because it messes my budget up. Mm-hmm. But any rate, yeah, we better, I've got like 5 different people poking at me that want answers to 5 different questions, so.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
There's some emergency, because there's some petition going around, because people think we're going to charge $5 for every alt trade, and everybody's all upset about it, and so I had to talk to Serener about it and get it straightened out while we were talking on the thing here, and hopefully.
Yeah, you're multitasking.
always multitasking. But it's okay. Kat talks a lot, so. I actually talked a lot this time, didn't I? I don't think I'll do that. You guys make me feel very comfortable.
That's what it is. Yeah, though when we first got together, a lot of times we'd be socializing with people, and, you know, Katie would say 3 or 4 sentences all evening, and she'd say, oh, I just let Kat talk for me. He talks plenty.
Well, yeah, now I have Ben around, too, who also is very social and a wonderful small talk type person, and I don't have to say anything anymore. We go someplace, they do all the talking, I smile for you.
She has a lot to say these days, and she's, you know, very lively and engaged when she's talking about something she's excited about. So, you know, sometimes I get to sit back and let her talk, like tonight, which is great too.
So I have a question. Did you guys record this?
Yes.
That's cool. Are you going to want to put it up someplace for people to hear?
Originally I wasn't going to, but I think I underestimated how long it would be and how much work would go into, like, making a transcript, so I think...
Yeah, I think that would be a lot of work to do. If you want to just post it up, we are just fine with that.
Okay. I'll probably do that, then.
I was trying to think if we said anything we shouldn't have. There's a long story. No, seriously, no, it should be just fine. You can post it up.
I can... send it to you first if you'd like to make sure that there isn't anything.
Just edit out that Semprini part. Oh, and this Semprini part. Oops.
No, don't worry about it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. No, you definitely don't want to try and transcribe all of what we said tonight. So.
Yeah.
We can talk about it, so. Anyway, thank you guys so much for everything, and we were very happy with who won that particular contest, because, you know, it could have been really awkward if it was somebody that we didn't already know and like quite well. And so we were really glad that you guys were the ones that won that particular contest. Just one of those trolls from the Reddit on here trying to ask us questions. That would have been so much fun now, wouldn't it?
Oh, dear.
Oh, well. Okay, well, I am going to get off of here because I do have five people poking at me, like I said. I think it's six. And Test World 2. Okay, fine. I gotta go. And eventually tonight get some sleep.
Yes.
Yes. All right, thanks, guys.
Take
I'll talk
care.
To you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to
bye.
You.
You too.